to tell others about Christ. And I want to share that some of what I'm sharing with you, I can't claim full responsibility for it. But I came across this, and I thought it gave some very excellent and some very poignant points about things that we can do to be better equipped and to be better positioned to tell others about Christ. One of the major reasons that many people don't engage in personal evangelism is a fear of rejection. The fear of being turned down, laughed at, the fear of being looked upon as a religious fanatic. Many Christians have been hindered by the fear of being placed or being looked upon in a certain way. And to add to this, we're part of a society that has become increasingly distant from things that pertain to God. As a matter of fact, this society is moving in a direction that looks down upon and criticizes and castigates anything that is associated with the Word of God. And so for the Christian, there must need to exist some mindset and some attitudes in order for us to fulfill the task that has been put before us. Brother Gibbs so beautifully put this morning that this task has been set to be done through earthen vessels, and that we, as those earthen vessels, are the means by which God has determined to proclaim and to spread His word toward mankind. And so it becomes very important for us to establish a mindset that says that we are going to be up for the task. And so what are some things that we can do to prepare ourselves and to embolden ourselves and to ensure that we maintain or even for the first time develop a mindset that says that I have the courage and the willingness to declare the word of God to other individuals? I believe one of the first things that we need to do in order to embolden ourselves to tell others about Christ, we have to develop a mindset and prioritize in our minds that I'm here to please God, not man. I'm here to please God, not man. When I look in Galatians chapter 1 and looking at verse number 10, Paul, and I believe Brother Gibbs went to this scripture, I think he started at verse number 6 this morning. But in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 10, he makes a statement. He says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I've yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Paul said, I'm not here to be someone to please man. And when you think about it, it makes sense that I develop a mindset that says, I'm not here to please man. What can man do for me? Man cannot save my soul. Man cannot take away my soul. Fear not man that can destroy the body, but fear God who can destroy both the body and soul in hell. I have no allegiance to man. Therefore, I should have no fear of man. Paul, as he writes this, he's saying, now, when I look at my life, I want to please God in order to be a true servant of Christ. And if we want to truly please God, we have to realize that our servitude does not exist in the priorities and the perception of people around us. But my priority lies within, how does God look at me? What does God see when He looks at my life? Paul, as he speaks in the context here, when we look back to verse number 1 of Galatians chapter 1, look at how Paul describes himself. He says, Paul, an apostle, he said, not of men, neither by man. He said, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And you see, Paul was dealing with a group of individuals, the context of Galatians chapter 1 is that there were a bunch or group of Judaizing teachers that were coming in and teaching false doctrine. They were teaching some of the Galatians that they were going to have to go back under the old law. Specifically, they were going to have to go back and obey the law about circumcision. And Paul was bold in his stance. As I believe we had this morning, I know Brother Gibbs looked at chapter 1 and verse number 6. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel. And then he says, which is not another, but there will be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. In other words, what Paul was saying, there's no other teaching, there's no other doctrine. And Paul made it his point to stand boldly and let them know there is no other gospel. I'm not going to compromise and allow myself to embrace or allow it to go by the idea that these Judaizing teachers are coming in to try to wreck the faith of others. So Paul stood firm in his stand. Paul stood boldly because Paul said, I'm not here to please man. I'm here to please God. We have too many in religion today whose major premise is to please man. I remember years ago, there was, I received it in the mail. There was, I don't know how I got it, but there was a survey that was sent out to individuals about the establishment of a church in another part of the city. And the survey said, what kind of church do you want? And it asks, what kind of preaching do you want to hear each Sunday? Is preaching about sin acceptable to you? These were actual questions. Do you want to hear each Sunday sermons that are based on sermons of encouragement, or do you mind, or would you be accepting of sermons that seek to correct and seek to address some of the issues of life? Those were the actual questions. It was going to be a designer church. But my effort is not to please man. It's not to preach what people want to hear preached. My preaching has got to be what the Word of God has to say. Paul again said, do I seek to please men? And if I seek to please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. We must make sure that it is God that we're trying to please at all times, not man. This is not to suggest, and I think this is very important, this is not to suggest that we give no thought as to how we present ourselves to other men. We can still present the gospel in love. But it does not mean that we compromise the message as we speak to others. We must seek to please God, not man. And the same boldness that Paul established here as he stood against the false doctrine of the Judaizing teachers, that's the same boldness that we should present as we stand up to proclaim the word of God to others today. Boldness. And when we think about this boldness, I think one of the ways in which we can have that boldness, we ought to pray to God for boldness. When I look at 1 Corinthians again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and looking at verse number 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and looking at verse number 1, Paul again talks about some things that I think are very important to us. He said again, I came not to you with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. And then he said, for I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. But now look at what he says. When he talks about, I'm determined to know nothing among you, Paul believed in the power of prayer. Paul believed the power of prayer to provide boldness, to help him in his preaching and teaching. Look at what he said in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, and looking at verse number 18 and verse number 19, Paul again looking at a situation that existed here. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 6, and looking at verse number 18 and verse number 19, the Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Paul, as he looked at his life, Paul was always encouraging and exhorting others to live and conduct themselves in a way that was pleasing and acceptable unto God. And even here in chapter 6, you remember that Paul gave the beautiful exhortation beginning at verse number 10. He said, finally, my brethren, he said, be strong, how? In the Lord. My strength is not within me. He said, be strong in the Lord. And then he said, in the power of his might. And he said, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he said in verse number 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We stand in the fact that we're in a fight. We're in a wrestling match, if you will. But the wrestling match is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and it's against powers. But we're going to have to stand boldly. And then he said in verse number 13, he said, whereunto take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand, or that you might be able to stand up in the evil day. And having done all to stand, he said, look at it, what he says further. In verse number 14, he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. If I'm going to take a bold stand, I got to stand with the word of God. Having your loins girt about with the truth and the blessed breastplate of righteousness. If I'm going to stand, I can't stand and live a half-hearted life. If I'm going to stand for God, I've got to stand on the foundation of righteousness, doing what's right. If I'm going to stand, look what it says in verse number 15. He says, stand therefore, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If I'm going to stand, I got to stand with the gospel. Then it said, if I'm going to stand, look what it says in verse number 16, and above all, taking the shield of faith. If I'm going to stand boldly, it's going to have to be a stand of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take on the helmet of salvation. If I'm going to stand boldly and declare to others about the good news of the gospel, take on the helmet of salvation. If I don't believe, if I'm not convinced that I've truly been assured of salvation, how can I tell somebody else about it? If I believe that my life spiritually is a question mark, if I look at my life and I just don't know where I stand, I don't know what I feel, I'm not sure about my election in Christ, if I'm just kind of iffy about my position with God, how can I boldly bring somebody to understand and believe and have a conviction when I don't even have a conviction? Said, take on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. How can I stand without my weapon? The sword of the Spirit, the tool of the Spirit, the weapon of the Spirit is the word of God. The Spirit of God lives within me. It dwells within me. How can I allow the Spirit to work within me if the word of God is not consistently dwelling and alive in my life? Paul gave all of these exhortations. Then when we come to verse number 18, again, as I read just a moment ago, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And look at what Paul says. He said, and for me. He said, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. You know, we should pray for one another, that we have the boldness to open our mouths boldly and speak of those things that pertain to the word of God. He said, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, there, that therein I might speak boldly. And look what he said here, as I ought to speak. Word of God, not something to hide. Word of God is not something to be ashamed of. The word of God is not something we just want to whisper to somebody every now and then if they ask us about it. The word of God ought to be something that we're proud of. Proud to be a Christian. Proud to be a member of the body of Christ. Proud to be a member of the church of Christ. Don't let this world, the ways of this world, the attitudes of this world, the mindset of this world, take away your boldness and standing up for what we all should stand up for. I see another example of this when we look in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and look down to verse number 29. Acts chapter 4, and looking down to verse number 29. And we find an example of Peter and John. Peter and John, they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible said, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And the Bible said, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. You know, as I read that, I put myself in Peter, John's position. If I had shared something about the scripture and someone had come and laid hands on me and put me away for a short time, where will my boldness be after that event? And you know, when I thought about this, this scenario is not one that's moved too far away from reality. There are legislatures that are legislating that certain things cannot be preached from the pulpit, even as we speak. There are certain things in certain states that you better not say about homosexuality in the pulpit. But what about standing up and being bold? We just don't know where this country may possibly go. God's people are going to have to establish a mindset that says no matter what they say, no matter what they may do, No matter what might be legislated, truth is truth, and I'm going to stand with the truth. But look at this. This is fascinating. The Bible said, I'm not going to finish this lesson. Bible didn't say that, I just said that. Bible said, look at what it said in verse number 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they asked, and when they had set them in the midst, and they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. I can just imagine Peter just saying, now, this is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, and it's become the head of the corner. But look at what it says here. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, you know, it must have been something to perceive unlearning and ignorant, but at the same time perceive boldness. You know what that says? The power is not in me. Paul stated just a few moments ago, we read, I didn't come to you in eloquence. I didn't come to you with great words, but I came to you in boldness. These men, as they looked at them, they must have been very perplexed. They looked at them and said, these men, you could tell they don't have any education. But yet there's a boldness there that we just cannot deny. Sometimes when it comes to sharing the word of God, we may feel, well, I don't have all the answers, and I don't have all the words, and I'm not able to express it perfectly like somebody over here or somebody over there. You don't need to be able to express it perfectly. You just need to boldly stand for what the word of God has to say. I marvel at the great abilities that so many men in our brotherhood have been given the eloquence, the ability to preach the word of God in such an outstanding way. But all I know is if I just stay with the word of God, that's going to be enough. Look what they said. The Bible said in verse number 14, and beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But look at what he said. But when they had commanded them to go out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done. And you know the thing about a lesson that we could take from here? People can see truth. People can see it for their own eyes. And realize there's nothing I can say against this. They can hear a doctrine or they can hear a teaching that has been confirmed with scripture after scripture after scripture, just like these individuals saw this man that was healed. And Peter said it was done by the power of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There was nothing that could be said. But even with all the empirical evidence that was there, they were still trying to find a way to get around it. Look what it said in verse number 16, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done by them, is manifest unto all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it, but that it spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth no more to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard." Boldness. Boldness. Then we can read further, but in verse number 23, the Bible said, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them." And I don't have time to go through all the scriptures, but then coming down to verse number 29, it said, "And now, Lord, behold, their threatenings." Here's where they're in prayer. "And grant unto thy servants that with all" what? "Boldness they may speak the word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. We just need to ask God for boldness. And when we stand up boldly. God is a God who I believe is willing to protect us and stay with us. As we read earlier in Ephesians chapter 6, where the Bible again talked about putting on the sword of the Spirit and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and having the shield of faith and all those things. Someone pointed out on one occasion that there's no mention of any protection for the back. As long as we're willing to stand, there's protection. But when a person turns and runs away, there's no protection. We need to pray to God for boldness. And not only that, I just believe that, and there's several other points that I wanted to bring out this evening, but my time has gotten away from me. And I just want to make this last point. Let your light shine naturally when around non-Christians. Let your light shine naturally when around non-Christians. If I'm going to boldly share Christ, I must boldly live Christ. Bible said in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus made the statement, "Let your light shine, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven." There's a difference between doing things to be seen of other people and doing things to be seen of men. Our natural lives should reflect the will and the word of God. Here's some practical things. When you go out to eat, offer thanks for your food. Bow your head and let people see you pray. Keep a Bible with you. I know we're in electronic times and we have our smartphones and we have our iPads and other things, but keep a Bible with you. Don't be ashamed to let people see you reading the Bible. A Bible at your desk at work, in your purse or in your pocket or in your coat. And when you get a chance, let people see you reading the word of God. in our conversation. We can identify ourselves with Christ. Casually mention some of the things which indicate that you have a faith in God. If a friend or coworker has confided with you that they have a problem, tell them with all sincerity, I'm going to keep you in my prayers. In everyday conversation, you might mention some pertinent point made by the preacher or the Bible class teacher or something that you glean in your own private study. Share those things with another individual. This is boldly declaring who I am as a child of God. Making plans with others. Use the expression, if the Lord wills or the Lord allows. Give credit to the Lord when the occasion calls for it. I thank God for good health. I thank God for getting me up one more day. I thank God for all that he's done and all he's doing in my life. And these expressions, when they're done sincerely, not again as a means to bring attention, undue attention to myself, but when they're done sincerely, these can often serve as door openers to allow people to inquire about your faith. Be willing. Always be willing to give and provide some sort of avenue for individuals to inquire and ask about who you are and how you worship the Lord God. Just the other day, we had one of our members here whose sister passed away, and she was not a member of the Lord's church. And I was asked to, by their family, to come out and do a committal of that individual at the cemetery. And I spoke to them and read some scriptures and gave a short talk. And after it was over, many of them came and said, now, where is it that you worship? And what's the name of that church? And, you know, I didn't have anything to give them. At least I didn't think I did at that time. But then I remembered in my car, in my trunk. Now, don't laugh at this, but in my golf bag, I had several cards, Greenville Avenue Church of Christ, worship times. I keep those so that even if I'm on the golf course and I'm playing with somebody, I can reach in that bag and say, listen, I'm a member of the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ, one of the ministers here, we'd love to have you come worship. And I gave them all cards. And all of them said, we're going to come and worship with you. I don't know if they will. But at least maybe a seed has been sown. I just believe we need to be practical about this. And we need to eliminate fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. When I think of being a Christian, many times as Christians, we find ourselves always on the defensive. But you know, as Christians, we need to put the world on the defensive. Many times the world says, well, why do you go to church? Why do you give up your Sunday morning? Why do you give up your Wednesday night? But the question is, why do you do what you do? Why do you go where you go? Amen. Why do you use the language that you use? We have something to be bold about. Because as we continue to live this life, one of these days this life is going to end with a heavenly reward that fadeth not away. So let us, church, as we continue in this vein and thought about evangelism, let's not shy away. Let's boldly stand. Let's ask God. Let's pray to God for boldness. If the Apostle Paul, that same Apostle Paul that was shipwrecked, that went naked, that was lied upon by his brethren, that went through all those things, if that same Apostle Paul thought that he needed prayer to stand boldly for God, then we need prayer as well. And so let's do that. Let's be bold about our faith. Not a proud kind of bold, but a sincere bold that says, I trust so much in the life that God has given me to live on this earth that I'm going to stand up for it. I'm not going to shy away from it and allow God to use us as the earthen vessels that God desires us to be. God bless you. There might be someone here tonight that is not a member of the Lord's church. We invite you to come. Hear the word of God. Believe the same. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Go down the watery grave of baptism. Arise to walk in the newness of life. And you'll be added to the church. And you live your life in accordance to the will of God. One day heaven is your home. There might be someone here tonight. And maybe you are a member of the Lord's church, but maybe your life has not been one that has been bold toward Christ. Maybe you've kind of stepped away, and maybe you've kind of compromised some things. But the Lord calls us all to live boldly. Amen. For him. And if you've had that problem, won't you come and let us pray for you? If anyone has a need, we ask you please come as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
882.
Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not your heart. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Why not tonight?